Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
This is the iTricks.com Magic Stars podcast for the week ending October 8th, 2009. I'm Justin Robert Young. Coming up a little later in our newsmaker interview, Jerry McCambridge, the mentalist, tells us about his 900th show in Las Vegas. And also, it does not get realer than this, folks. Some serious beef between him and Luke Germain. Stay tuned for that. But first, the news. Penn and Teller will play New York City for the first time in nearly a decade when they take the stage at a charity event entitled 35 Years of Magic and BS on November 12th. The magic icons will mostly lecture, but also scatter a few tricks through the performance, which will benefit VH1's Save the Music Foundation. Considering New York City's stance on the subject of guns, just ask Plexico Burris, we're going to assume they're not going to end with the bullet catch, but very exciting news for anyone in the New York City area. Chris Angel squeaked back into the TicketNews.com Vegas Top 10 this week at the number 10 position. Last week, Mind Freak's Cirque du Soleil show slipped from the charts for the first time in several weeks, but now he's back. He charted just behind Jersey Boys. If you want to laugh, folks, please go ahead over to iTricks and search for the Copperfield Crew hijinks. It's a great video of the male members of the staff, two of them at least, terrifying one of the female crew members. Thanks to Chris Kenner for posting it on YouTube, but fantastic stuff. How do you plan on celebrating Magic Week? You better decide soon. The Society of American Magicians reminds us it'll be here sooner than you might realize. Mike Miller, National President of the Society of American Magicians, proclaimed the week of October 25th to October 31st as National Magic Week throughout the United States and Canada. For more than 40 years, the Society has recognized the anniversary of the death of Harry Houdini with a special week of events to highlight the charitable work of the Society throughout the year. And now on to our newsmaker interview. Jerry McCambridge has done 900 shows in Las Vegas, which gives you a testament to his longevity. He does one of the best mentalism shows in the city, and one of the few ones that's consistently available. He was nice enough to join us from his home in Sin City. Joining me on the phone right now is a longtime friend of the site. He is currently headlining at the Planet Hollywood Hotel and Casino in the V Theater. Ladies and gentlemen, the mentalist himself, Jerry McCambridge. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Justin. Hello, iTrix listeners. How are you guys?
I think we, they can't talk, so I'm just going to assume great all the way around. We're all having a good time.
They're thinking it, and I'm picking it up. That's all that matters.
You just had a big milestone, right? A couple hundred shows you've already put in the book since being in Vegas?
On Tuesday night, we performed our 900th Las Vegas show. 900,
very cool.
Can you believe it?
And just real quick, do the list of where you've been since moving out to Vegas.
I started at the Rampart Casino 4 years ago. After doing a year there, I moved over to the Stardust, stayed there right up until the place was closed down for implosion.
Okay.
Went to Hooters Casino for 2 years, and now for the last 6 months, we've been at the Planet Hollywood.
And still going well with the Planet Hollywood?
Yeah, you know something, town is a little slow right now, the economy and everything, so all things considered, we're doing very well.
Gotcha.
So we're happy, the boss is happy, the man who writes my paychecks is happy, so all is good. And most importantly, the audiences that are leaving the show are very happy.
Yeah.
So we're looking to make 1,000. That was my goal when I came out here, to do 1,000 Las Vegas performances, so we are 100 away.
Yeah, so that is what? Definitely 2010, right?
Probably the beginning part of it. You know, we do 6 shows a week, so 6, 12, 24, so that's 24 shows a month. So in 4 months, we can knock it out. But it's this October, so November, December, January. So probably by February, we should hit 1,000.
It sounds good, man. I've made no secret that I'm definitely a fan of your show.
we have a huge party and celebrate the fact that mentalism, despite what everybody thinks, can work in Vegas.
Ah, there we go. Sticking to the critics. I always like it when things get a little grimy. I enjoy that. Rub it in their
stick
eye.
Stick it to the critics, and also stick it to Steve Wynn. You know, I don't know if you remember, if I ever told you the story, but
no.
After my TV show, when I came out to Vegas, it was probably about 5 years ago. It was in 2004. My first stop was Steve Wynn. He was building the Wynn Casino at the time. It wasn't open. And my manager arranged for a meeting, and we went into his office and had a meeting with him. And then I wound up performing for him and his entire staff. And he said, you know, you're the most unique act I've ever seen. I don't know what to do with you. I don't think this stuff can work in Vegas. You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and people come in to be dirty and nasty and secretive, and they don't want, you know, some mentalist pulling secrets out of their head in front of a room full of people. And he passed on the project and didn't think it could work. Well, 900 shows later, Mr. Wynn, it's still working.
Have you run into Stevie Boy since then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, quite often, actually. We pass at either parties or I remember I was dropping a friend off at the Wynn once, and I was leaving, and Steve Wynn was walking through the hall, and I go up to him and talk to him, and he says, how's it going? You know, what count you up to? And, you know, he's very aware of the fact that he did say that, and I've proven him wrong. And, you know, it's a nice day when you do something like that. And you go, you know, I had enough faith in what I do and felt I can readapt to the town accordingly to make the show a success.
Have you made any changes over that 900 show run? Like, to your act?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I came into town, you know, I was on the corporate road for 15 years doing corporate gigs constantly. And, you know, it's a different kind of town here. It's I had to kind of go back to my comedy club roots and pull up the jokes and pull out the edginess and adapt to what the Vegas audiences wanted. And it's funny because you can tell, you go out and you do it, and you know, a joke would slip out that shouldn't have come out in a corporate environment, but in Vegas it would slip out and the audience would, you know, laugh hysterically, and I'd go, wow, man, I haven't said that one in a while, and it seems to have gone over. And it is now why my show is rated PG-13, you know, because of the fact that it does have that edginess to it.
Yeah, I thought you sprinkled it in well. And obviously, you know, far be it from me, Justin Robert Young of iTricks.com, to challenge the Vegas acumen of a man like Steve Wynn. But it would, in my mind at least, if people are pulling out the secrets of Vegas on stage for a crowd of other people who are in, you know, a room on the same shared experience, it would only serve to kind of reinforce the attitude that Vegas is a place where crazy things happen, right? Like, you know, that everybody's thinking the same thing.
Right, right. I think people are more scared because they're sitting there with their wife and they don't want it pulled out, you know, oh, you had an affair with your secretary. Good going, dude. And, you know, people are scared of that kind of thing.
Yeah. But also, like, how many times is that written down in your sealed envelope, Jerry? You know, the horrendously horrible personal secret.
Only about two or three times a night.
There we go. All right. So I guess it's a guaranteed kind
Look,
of thing.
The bottom line is you want to entertain. Hello? Still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go.
I thought you got disconnected.
No.
Bottom line is you want to entertain the audience, and you want them to leave feeling good about the performance they attended, feeling good about handing you their money, and feeling good about a mentalism show in general, and walking out and going, I really didn't know what this stuff was, but damn, I had a good time today.
Here we go. And I think you do a pretty good job of it. Again, you know, me, I know I've seen the show once. My friend and of course, the man who set up this site, Andrew Main, seen it a couple times. So we're very, 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 very big fans of yours. Now,
well, thank you very much.
Another reason why I wanted to have you on was, and this is something that I absolutely adore about your personality. I've kind of joked with you when you've been on the podcast before about your let's say antagonistic relationship toward Bobby Slayton, who is now no longer in the Hooters Hotel Casino, nor is he at the Tropicana, where he moved after he you guys stopped sharing the same room. But you were very upfront about your opinion on various personalities and acts in Vegas. And the other day on Twitter, I noticed you what one might perceive to be a bit of a shot toward another mentalism act in town, specifically Luke Germay at the O'Shea's Casino.
Now, for the record, the Twitter post that you're talking about, did it contain Luke Germay's name?
It did not. It did not.
I didn't think so. Okay.
However, it did say that there was a mentalism act in, I believe it was referred to as an Irish bar, which, it doesn't exactly take Veronica Mars to connect those dots.
I probably would have used the word Irish pub, but Irish bar will be sufficient.
Okay, Irish pub.
Okay. Okay, so iTrix is now looking to turn up some controversy. So go ahead. We all see where this is going.
Oh no! Come on. I'm just repeating what I'm reading.
We've gotten Bobby Slayton out of town, and now we're. Go ahead. I'm just busting your chops. This is what you love about me, isn't it?
Of course. This is the reason why I like to have you on.
I was with Luke Germay last night at the Michael Weber lecture, actually.
Is there a beef? That's the question. Is there a mentalism beef between Luke Germay and Jeremy McCambridge, true or false?
Absolutely.
There is.
You were waiting for the word not in there, weren't you?
No. I would assume either way.
Okay, here's the story in a nutshell. Luke and I are friends. I guess we've been friends now for, a few years. I remember seeing him at a lecture in Tannins in New York City. When I came out here, he was working for Chris Angel for about, 2 weeks before, he let him go. I was actually talking to Luke at one point in time to hire him to work with me and my show. When I was doing Phenomenon, he and I were talking, and I was going to put him on the payroll. So we never had any problems in the past.
Yeah.
And then one day, a few months ago, he sends me a little chat on Facebook and says, "Hey, I'm opening a show here in town. I hope that you're okay with this." And he has tried in the past to open shows, because I have the ticketing company. So he has contacted me saying, "Oh, I'm doing a weekend show, or I'm doing a one-time show, and could you help me fill the room and get bodies in the room using your service?" So he sends me this Facebook thing and says, "I got a show. You have a problem with it? I hope we can stay friends." I says, "I don't have a problem with it at all. You know, the amount of tourists we get through this town, there's enough money for everybody."
Yeah.
And I said, "What's the name of your show?" And he said, "Mental." And I said, "Now I have a problem with it. You know, it's when somebody looks at the list of shows in town, Mental and Mentalist, it's going to confuse people. It's going to confuse ticket brokers. It's too close to the name of my show. Name it Luke Germay Mentalist, or name it something else where it's listed different."
That's interesting. So it wasn't even just the fact that there was the word mental. It was just that when you list it alphabetically, it comes up right next to each other.
Right next to each other.
Yeah.
And he told me that, he didn't think it would cause confusion, and Harris had named the show, because O'Shea's is actually a little bar owned by Harris Corporation.
Yeah.
Now, I know the way that O'Shea's works and the room, and it's nothing more than a four-wall deal that his producer, Anthony Cools, is renting the room from Harris and putting on shows. So I'm absolutely certain Harris has approval on any show that goes in there and any name of a show, but I don't think they sit back in their corporate chairs and go, "Okay, what should we name this little show here?" So because of the fact that I had history with Anthony Cools in the past, he actually was my producer at Stardust. And when I realized that he wasn't a good producer and we parted ways, it wasn't a good parting. So in my assumption, Anthony was naming the show just to stick it to me. "Look, I got another mentalist. I replaced you. I'm naming the show Mental." And probably turned to Luke and said, "Hey, this is the name of the show, this is what Harris said, and Luke may have gotten caught in the middle of something. But
yes,
when I mentioned it to him and talked to him about it, we were just chatting on Facebook, he was not happy with it. And I also mentioned it to his producer. As soon as that was my conversation with Luke was over, I contacted his producer and said, come on, you know, Anthony Cools is actually a hypnotist in this town. So I said, I'm not going to put out a show. I'm not going to produce a show called Cool Hypnosis.
Yeah.
You know, it would just be kind of rude, and you have respect for other performers. And he said, same thing Luke said, oh, Harris named it. We have no control over it, which we all know is bad. So the second he named the show that, Luke and I did have a problem.
Yeah.
Strictly with that. Now, in the past, you know, Luke took a week off when the Magic Convention was in town. And I saw him in my room. He came up with his mom, and he came to go to the comedy club, and we said hi and everything. We were cordial. But, you know, the show itself is a thorn in my side because of the name. And, you know, my ticketing company has made many shows in this town a success because of the fact that you start out slow, you have small advertising budgets, you need to get the word out to people, to the locals. I got a database of 70,000 people here in Las Vegas with my company. And, you know, I could have helped the guy, but instead they turn around and stick it to me. And to me, it's just, it's an irritating thing that exists. Now, it's awfully funny that I said there's going to create confusion, and both of them said, no, no, no. Well, so the show opens up. Show's obviously not doing too well, because every night that Anthony Cools goes on stage and performs, at the end of his show, he tells people about this show, Mental. Take my ticket stub down to the box office, and you get to see Mental for $5. He offers such a big deal. Well, guess who shows up at my box office all the time with Anthony Cools tickets? His audience. They're actually getting confused and coming and giving me the money that should be in Luke's pocket. So to me...
Do you honor the deal? Are you giving out $5 tickets?
Well, we do, but we kind of stick it to them because we say, yes, it's $5 with the purchase of a drink. And a
there
drink is $9.95. So it's down to $15. And then we also turn around and we say that there's, you know, a box office charge. There's a $5 box office charge. So the free ticket winds up costing them, and then with LET and tax stuff on top of it, it's 20-some-odd dollars. So we're getting their money, and if they get irritated thinking, oh, it was for free, what the hell is this, it's a scam, they get pissed at Anthony Cools, not us, for presenting that deal. So either they're giving us money that should have went to Luke, or they're getting pissed at Anthony Cools for, you know, misrepresenting an offer.
Yeah.
So I guess the show mustn't be doing well, because that $5 offer has now changed to a free offer. You know, they'll come up to my box office and go, oh, Anthony Cools said we can get in for free. So they're just looking for an audience anywhere that they can find it. Because if you go see one show, well, you get to go see the other show for free. And also, you know, they Twitter every day. You know, Luke Twitters the first 15 people to my show, box office, and say the secret word, or whatever he uses for that day, get admission to the show for free. Which I guess isn't working too well, because two nights ago, I know somebody, it was actually a mentalist who came into town, a very famous college mentalist, went to go see the show, and it was canceled. So I guess they're not even giving away their allotment of 15 free tickets to, you know, I guess he needs 15 people to make the show happen. He's not even giving away that allotment, so... you know, I guess it's backfiring on them.
All right. Well, you said that you ran into him last night. I think it was the Michael Weber lecture was in town.
Yes.
Was there any, you know, was it a frosty back and forth between the two of you, or did you not say anything?
I didn't say a word to him. He didn't say a word to me. I was there because last night was my night off, so I was there before the lecture began and was hanging out with everybody because of his show. I guess last night was the one night a week when he actually wound up performing the show. So he wound up showing up after his show. So he came into the lecture late. So our paths really didn't cross. But, you know, it was a funny night because Luke was there and also Banachek was there. And I've had history with him in the past, and we were fine. Steve and I are good.
Well, that's certainly good to hear. You know, there's one thing I know that I can always come to Jerry and I'm gonna get the straight story. I'm not gonna get anything beaten around the bush. You're gonna give me the straight dope, and I always do appreciate it. The one other thing that I'll say is it's something that I do sincerely believe, and I would consider. I mean, you've been very, very generous with your time in terms of the site, and you're always available for an interview whenever we ask. And I would even say that, considering the fact that, I talk to you on and off the record, and I dare I say I would consider us friends. But if it came down to getting on the other side of a dollar with Jerry McCambridge, I want no part of it. I think you are a man who is business first, and, you have like 27 kids. So, I think that it's out of necessity, right?
27. You're crazy. It's 29. You lost track. business is business. Business is business. And if you and I enter a business relationship and we lay down the terms of the business and you don't fulfill or there's a problem, I'm going to call you on it and I'm going to make the proper adjustments accordingly. And, you don't want, it's just business. And sometimes people do bad business.
That's it.
And I'm not going to be the one to sit back and be taken advantage of or let somebody, walk all over me. If I feel you're doing me wrong, I'm going to say something about it. And I'll be the first to admit, hey, I was wrong, if you can prove me wrong. So I kind of think I'm fair. Maybe I'm a little more of a big mouth than the average person because I speak my feelings
no!
and I don't swallow them. I don't hold back and I don't swallow. To me, this is the entertainment capital of the world. This is where all the best shows are.
Yeah.
And, my Twitter thing that you referred to was nothing more than totally unsolicited. A usher from my showroom came up to me the other day. And I'm talking about, when I say unsolicited, if I'd said 10 words to this lady in my life, since I've been there, since she's been hired in the showroom, I've said that many. Other than a hi, good day, when I'm walking in and out, that's it. She comes up to me totally unsolicited, and she goes, just want you to let you know, me and my friend went to that show Mental the other day. And I said, oh, okay, how did you like it? And she goes, it was horrible, absolutely horrible. She said, there was 20, maybe 25 people the most there. Most of us got in for free. It was like an amateur production, and it was, all his tricks, we were just sitting there figuring them out as we were doing them. And that was the basis of my Twitter, because I'm upset the fact that, he's been open for months now, and this is still what he's getting. So, And I get this on a constant basis, and I get it from magicians too, who come and go, well, yeah, Luke's show wasn't that good. And, doesn't have anybody have the balls to, say to him, maybe you should consider changing this or altering that, or, to put better mentalism out there to be fair,
we interviewed him on this very podcast last week. It actually went live on Monday, and he talked about, we actually went over that very fact that, that there are things that had to change from the first show he did to the show he does now. So, to be fair, I do know, I believe that he's cognizant that a show needs to evolve, a show needs to find a rhythm, and I would not guess that he's necessarily found that rhythm yet. But I do think he's aware that the show needs to change.
Well, then maybe he shouldn't have had his press night. If the show is still in the evolution process and he realizes, okay, the show isn't good, I'm not getting the reaction that I want or whatever,
I didn't say it wasn't good. I just said it was evolving, but I get your point.
Right. But hey, we all have to evolve and we all have to learn and grow. And, if you look at his reviews and his quotes, he was fabulous over in the West End. So maybe that's a different type of audience. Maybe that's more of a theater audience.
British, I would say.
His humor is more for those type of people. I don't know. I've never seen the man perform at all. And, all I'm basing it is on what people tell me. So maybe it's not a Vegas type show. There are many shows that come into this town with, millions of dollars in the budget that close because they can't fit the venue out here. You know, is he one of those? I don't know. You know, can he evolve and become a better Vegas act? You know, do what it takes to be a Vegas style act? I don't know. It'll be interesting because he had his press night, and, you know, reviews will start to come out. I did see one review, and the headline was, "This show does not amaze." You know, and I thought, wow, that's not a good thing, you know. And so it'll be interesting to see what the reviewers say. And the same reviewer that went to his show on Monday came to my show on Wednesday. So I'm sorry, on Thursday, like the very next day. So a few days later. So who knows? Maybe he's going to do a comparison review. Maybe he's going to say, look, here's the young kid doing it. Here's the old man doing it. Who knows? But it's just, hey, if he sees that the show needs to be changed and it's not where he wants it to be, that's a good thing. You know, that's a real good thing.
We shall see. But if there is one thing that will absolutely remain constant no matter what, it is that when we call Jerry McCambridge, gosh darn it, He's not gonna screw around. He's gonna let us know what's on his mind. Jerry McCambridge, of course, you can find at the V Theater in Planet Hollywood at shows above the 900 mark and steaming toward 1,000 in February.
And I'm still looking to get it right too.
There we go. Constantly evolving. Constantly evolving. Jerry, where can we find more information about you?
Well, if you go to mentalist.com, that pretty much has everything. You can go to the networking page and follow me on Twitter or follow me on Facebook or MySpace or wherever. You name it, we are out there. And
keep an eye on that Twitter, kids. Come on. It's going to be an interesting place for Jerry McCambridge. One more time, we want to thank Jerry McCambridge. We just want to point out, like, whether you think, you know, whatever you do about Jerry, right? He's not going to candy coat something. You know, and it is rare in entertainment as a field, and specifically magic, when, you know, there's such an insular community, that someone will actually speak their mind and let you know that they're cheesed off at something on the record. So I do want to say thank you for Jerry for being as honest as he was in this interview. David Copperfield will be in Detroit, Michigan, Friday and Saturday at the Fox Theater. He'll be at the IU Auditorium in Bloomington, Indiana on Sunday. No performance Monday. Tuesday's at the Carpenter Theater in Richmond, Virginia. Tuesday, he is in Ashland, Kentucky at the Paramount Arts Center. Wednesday, it is the Powers Auditorium in Youngstown, Ohio. And next Thursday, it's the Milwaukee Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And that about wraps it up for this week's Magic Stars podcast. If you have a question or comment, please email show@itricks.com. For discussion of all the week's magic news, including all the names you've heard in the last few minutes, make sure you add the iTricks Magic Week in Review to your iTunes subscriptions. For the iTricks.com Magic Stars podcast, I, Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter, bang a gong.
iTricks.com